If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vice President Mike Pence today called the situation at the southern border a bona fide emergency, and then he immediately went to confession for saying the word bona.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth interviews MSNBC's Chris Hayes. Then Chris races from Studio 8G to his show's 30 Rock studio while talking to Late Night producer Henry Melcher just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
There is no sign that the government shutdown will end anytime soon, and now the president wants a primetime address to repeat his lies. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Our political system feels like it's at a breaking point. It was always fragile, but then Donald Trump came along and wrecked it. He's like the guy at a party watching a game of Jenga going, "Take that one, no, that one." And then finally someone says, "You know what? If you think it's so easy, you try it." And then he just lights the Jenga tower on fire. Boom, now I collect the insurance money, build a bigger tower. There is no more basic test of a political leader than this. Can you keep the government running? And Trump is now again failing that test for the third time in his presidency. In real life, you don't get rehired after that. He's like a stoner working at a pizza place. "Hey, Kevin, how was business today?" "Oh, yeah, it was really slow, man." "Did you unlock the front door?" "Oh, man." "I'm sorry, Kevin. You have given me no choice, Kevin. You're gonna get the Cecil B. DeMille Award." And the government shutdown that is now in its third week isn't just a political fight over a useless border wall that Trump repeatedly said Mexico would pay for. It's having real-world consequences for millions of people, from federal workers going without pay to anyone who flies on an airplane.
15 federal agencies are affected by the shutdown. 420,000 federal employees are working without pay, and 380,000 employees are now on unpaid leave.
Federal tax refunds will be delayed. Food stamps for 38 million Americans will be cut. Millions of people will lose rental assistance payments. And union leaders say hundreds of TSA workers are already off the job.
Already, hundreds of TSA employees have missed work at major airports across the country. It's fueling concerns of possible security risks and travel disruptions.
Can you imagine what a nightmare that'll be? It's a major disruption when one TSA agent has to go get more plastic bins. Think about that. Donald Trump is such a bad president, he found a way to make air travel worse than it already was. By the end of his term, the only airline will be Spirit, the only in-flight movie will be Dirty Grandpa, and every seat will be a middle seat. We're in a self-inflicted crisis over a government shutdown because the president is incompetent and unhinged. He's virtually incapable of uttering a truthful or coherent thought about almost anything. Just take one of the most basic responsibilities of his job, national security. Here's Trump from last week describing a meeting with generals at the Pentagon who tried to brief him on danger spots around the world.
"When I became president, I had a meeting at the Pentagon with lots of generals. They were like from a movie. Better looking than Tom Cruise and stronger. And I had more generals than I've ever seen. And we were at the bottom of this incredible room. I said, this is the greatest room I've ever seen. I saw more computer boards than I think that they make today.
Why does he always sound like a coworker telling you about a dream he had?
There were generals, and we were in this room with computer boards, right? And you were there, but you weren't you, you know? You had your head, but my body.
At that same meeting, Trump rattled off a bizarre and incoherent explanation of the Russian invasion of Afghanistan in 1979. Now, the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan was condemned at the time and since. Only Russia has tried to justify it until last week, when the President of the United States publicly stated for the first time that Russia was right to invade and occupy Afghanistan.
Russia used to be the Soviet Union. Afghanistan made it Russia because they went bankrupt fighting in Afghanistan. Russia. The reason Russia was in Afghanistan was because terrorists were going into Russia. They were right to be there. The problem is it was a tough fight. And literally, they went bankrupt. They went into being called Russia again as opposed to the Soviet Union.
Look, sometimes you get involved in something that goes so badly you have to change your name. For example, you take a job as Donald J. Trump and you leave it as Prisoner 567891. Let's go. Best outcome, Trump cooperates with Mueller, rolls on everyone else, and goes into witness protection.
Hi, I'm your new neighbor, Ronald Bump. I don't want to say why I moved here, but it was Obama's fault.
Also, I love how Trump thinks it's an amazing insight to say Russia used to be the Soviet Union. He thought it was so impressive, he said it twice.
Russia used to be the Soviet Union. They went into being called Russia again as opposed to the Soviet Union.
Wow. Really, Dr. History? Russia used to be the Soviet Union? This sounds like when the gym teacher has to cover social studies for a week. All right, everybody, settle down. We're gonna watch Red Dawn. And that was nothing compared to the stream of incoherent nonsense Trump reeled off in a press conference at the White House on Friday after a meeting with congressional leaders on the shutdown. The press conference got crazier as it went on, including a point at which Trump tried incoherently to explain how migrants crossed the southern border.
We've already built a lot of the wall. We've renovated a tremendous amount of wall. I just told you we did a lot of wall in San Diego. Steel is stronger than concrete. So if I have a steel wall, or you could call it a steel fence. We're not talking about games. And I called up. I said, hi, it's President Trump. What's going on? They say, President Trump? We don't know who that is. They come in through these vast open areas. They get off the road, and they drive out into the desert, and they come on. They make a left turn. Usually it's a left, not a right. These coyotes and these human traffickers, they make a right turn before they get to the port of entry. They go as far as the wall is, or as far as the barricade is, and then they make a left. Welcome to the United States.
The coyotes drive across the border, they make a right, then a left, they go as far as the wall, and then it's welcome to the United States. That idea is so insane and incoherent, there's a good chance he got it from watching cartoons.
These coyotes, they're strapping themselves to rockets and shooting themselves over the border, so we have to build a wall, and we have to paint a tunnel on it. That's how you get them with the tunnel. You get them with the tunnel.
Trump started out the press conference by inviting congressional leaders to speak, and just to give you an idea of how fried his brain is, watch how he thanks House Republican Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy after his comments. Once again, this is Kevin McCarthy speaking.
We will stay in the room and get this job done. And there was progress today. I look forward to solving it.
Thank you, Steve.
I mean, now, in fairness to Trump, if you forget an old white guy's name, you have a decent chance if you just throw out a Steve. But maybe the wildest thing Steve said on us, oh, Steve. This guy. Hey! You got a glass house over there! Oh, it's good to be back. But maybe the wildest thing Trump said on Friday was when he threatened to start building the wall unilaterally by declaring a national emergency.
Have you considered using emergency powers to grant yourself authorities to build this wall without congressional approval? And second,
yes,
on Mexico, you have.
Yes, I have. And I can do it if I want.
So you don't need congressional approval to build the
no,
wall?
No, we can use them. Absolutely. We can call a national emergency because of the security of our country. Absolutely. No, we can do it. I haven't done it. I may do it. I may do it. But we can call a national emergency and build it very quickly.
Just a side note here. Reporters, stop asking questions like that. There's a good chance that Trump never thought about using emergency power until that reporter brought it up. He is very suggestible. A reporter could say, Mr. President, have you thought about wearing a military uniform everywhere and executing your enemies in the Rose Garden? And he would go, we're looking into that very strongly.
Did you get that? Write that down. I like that.
Apparently, that performance wasn't crazy enough because today Trump announced he wants to address the nation on Tuesday night. And even in his tweet announcing the speech, Trump lied. He tweeted, I'm pleased to inform you that I will address the nation on the humanitarian and national security crisis on our southern border, Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, first of all, just because Trump wants to address the nation doesn't mean networks should air it. Otherwise, they're just passing on his lies unfiltered. They should either reject him outright or, if he insists on speaking in primetime, make him do it as a contestant on The Masked Singer.
They get off the road. And they drive out into the desert, and they come on, they make a left turn. Usually it's a left, not a right.
Second. There's no national security crisis at the border. Trump and his aides keep repeating the debunked lie. The terrorists are sneaking in from Mexico. Yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders tried it on Fox News and got fact-checked by Chris Wallace.
We know that roughly nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists come into our country illegally. And we know that our most vulnerable point of entry is at our southern border.
Because I know the statistic. I didn't know if you were going to use it, but I studied up on this. Do you know where those 4,000 people come or where they're captured? Airports.
Not always, but certainly a large
number. The State Department says there hasn't been any terrorists that they found coming across the southern border.
It's by air, it's by land, and it's by sea. It's all of the above.
No, it's not. It's only by air. As soon as they fact check her, she turns into Paul Revere. It's one if by land, two if by sea, and 4,000 by air. Also, look at her face. She has literally never heard a reporter use the words, I studied up on this before. That's her oh face. She cannot believe she is being fact-checked by someone on Fox News. As soon as that interview ended, she stormed off the set and screamed, who let them have Google? Trump is totally incoherent and capable of telling the truth. He shouldn't get to address the nation just to repeat his lies. If he calls up the networks asking for airtime, they should pick up the phone and say,
President Trump, we don't know who that is.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is the Emmy-winning host of All In with Chris Hayes, which airs weeknights at 8 p.m. on MSNBC. He also hosts the podcast, Why Is This Happening? Please welcome back to the show our good friend Chris Hayes, everybody. Welcome back.
Great to be back.
Obviously, busy times for you, a lot going on. Let's talk about border security. It seems like we're going to have a primetime address tomorrow night.
Yep.
When the president talks about the wall, do you think in his head he fully believes that one day there's going to be a wall or not?
No. I mean, I think it's essentially it's like the monorail salesman in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a con. I mean, we know that it's a mnemonic device, right? That they told him, remember this. He has gone through 50 iterations of what it is. Part of what's maddening about this whole thing is the government is shut down over a thing that no one can describe.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lindsey Graham said, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
The president keeps doing this thing. In the beginning, you could tell he had these dreams like building the Great Wall of China on the southern border. And then someone said, like, you can't do that. Well, first of all, there's a river there.
Yeah.
But also, we need to see through it. And so then he, like, is like, okay, a wall you can see through. And it's like, yeah, that's a fence.
Yeah.
And he's, like, invented the concept of a fence, like, 8 times in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He's like, a wall, but you can see through. It's like, yeah, but those are fences.
Right.
We have, like, around a baseball field or, like, a yard. Like, there are fences. That's a thing that exists. In fact, of the, 2,300 miles of border, like, a lot of it is fenced. So it's like very unclear what exactly we're having this. Like,
and
what
when
is
you
the
say
thing?
It's a mnemonic device for him to remember it, why are they telling him remember the wall? Do you,
so this the story is that basically it was a way for his campaign advisors to remind him to bring up border security and immigration.
Yeah,
that it was a thing to hit. And, like, you know, you watched the campaign unfold like I did. Like, it was a huge...
It was a hit.
It was a hit. Yeah. It was a crescendo moment. We're going to build the wall. He would, like, riff on, like, there's going to be solar panels.
Yeah,
and the
it
door.
Was it
like,
was his Freebird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd
do
loved
wall.
It.
Everybody's like, do wall!
Wall,
yeah.
Wall!
And
but now we're... Now, like, now the government is literally shut down over that. Like,
right.
There are people who are about to miss second, maybe a third paycheck over the holiday break when people's expenses are incredibly high. There are the federal courts run out of money on January 11th. SNAP could be impacted. TSA people are calling in sick in the nation's airports. Like, all of that because of this shtick. Because of
now,
the shtick.
Everything you mentioned, those are very serious. Those are very real. None of that he can see. You know, nothing.
No.
You know, he would, I bet, argue that the government is running fine because he works for the government. He gets to go to work every day and the microwave still works. Everything's fine.
So the cable news, the TV.
So do you think that's do you think it's getting through to him exactly how serious this is?
No, I don't think it is. And I think it's you sort of play this thought experiment about what would splash back onto his consciousness. And there's not a whole lot. I mean, I think airport travel is one thing. Mm-hmm. I think processing tax refund checks. There's some news today that even though only 12% of IRS employees are not furloughed, they're going to direct them to do the refunds.
Yeah.
Because I think they understand the White House that if people start not getting their refund checks, that's a crisis that sort of expands out past the borders of what we have so far.
You, you know, obviously 2020 is people are already talking about it, which is slightly insane.
Yeah. But although it's
normal now.
It's a year. Yes. Yeah. Now it's normal.
It seems crazy, but it
but
is normal.
Yeah. Are
you are making an effort not to cover the noise of the upcoming campaigns.
Yeah.
How's
that working out for
that?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, we did this bit on the show where we just sort of made a kind of New Year's resolution about the kind of coverage you want to do. And I think all of us in the industry are dealing with what happened in 2016 when the sort of imperatives towards spectacle came to kind of eat the whole system. And those imperatives to spectacle are still there. Like, I put on a TV show that I want people to watch, and mm-hmm. people like watching spectacle, and you're swimming upstream in that. But I think it's really important that there is a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of stuff that, like, is a story for a day that, like, gives everybody a thing to program that day, and then no one remembers the next day. And I think that all of us, you know, I can't describe what it is, but I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is, like, leave that behind. Have the discipline to not chase the nonsense.
Well, the other thing, I do think the one difference, you know, because we, like your show, about 2 years out, we started covering the election. In 2014, we started talking about 2016 a lot. But the thing was, the noisy campaign, it wasn't a noisy presidency. It was a very quiet time. And so I think now, do you even think the people that are running for president, like, how do they even break through with a message when basically Donald Trump is, you know, he's running the country the way he ran for president?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's also a question about, like, how much does it matter to them to break through? I mean, I think one of the things that was really interesting about the political dynamics in the midterms was Democrats did not make those midterms about Donald Trump being a jerk, and they didn't make it about Donald Trump and the Mueller investigation. They made it about, like, healthcare and sort of meat and potatoes sort of issues. And I think that that will be more the tack that most Democrats take on the trail than one might anticipate. I think Democrats have come to realize that in the era of Trump, he's priced in. Like, you're not going to win an argument with a person by being like, did you know Donald Trump is president?
Right, yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, you're right. It's like, they know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Donald Trump is president, and they have their feelings about him. The way you can win arguments from persuadable voters is other stuff.
Right.
And I think what will be interesting is that we will watch a lot of Democrats kind of go around him in their messaging.
You were there for the swearing-in of the new Congress. You went to D.C.
I was.
What did it seem like? Did it feel like a new day?
Yeah, 100%. It was a wild scene there in the Rayburn Room, in right off the Capitol steps, like right off where like the actual House is, right inside the Capitol. You've got these families trucking through. Pelosi allowed 15 people to accompany the new member. So you've got, like, cousins, aunties, grandparents, little kids.
I think that's a cruel thing to do. Because if I was elected to Congress, I would want to tell my whole family, like, I get two.
I got
I'm
two.
I'm plus
Sorry.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
15. I'd be like, 15?
People are, like, running out at 11. It's
yeah,
like, I
exactly.
don't know.
Yeah.
You want to come in? Come on. So You've got this scene, and to be honest, I mean, this is a sad statement about the where we are in America. But the fact of American politics at this moment is there is one party that is just overwhelmingly white male in its representation, and there is another party that is far more diverse. And so when you're in this
room,
don't
tell me which one.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it.
I don't want
to know. Two guesses. And I got to say, it was wild, man. You're in this room, and it's folks who are first-generation Americans who came to the U.S. as refugees from these African-American families where you have grandparents who grew up under Jim Crow. All of them in this room where their loved one is going to ascend to the seat of power in a country that has not had people ascend to the seats of power that look like them or come from where they come from for a very long time. It was really genuinely inspiring.
You had trouble. I know you went down to talk to as many people as possible. You had trouble getting Republicans to talk to you.
Well, they were not nowhere to be found, first of all. I think that there's not a lot. I think particularly on the House side, what's left of the House Republican caucus is like a real hardcore group.
Yeah.
Right? So anyone that was kind of in the marginal seats that would kind of want to come to me, like, it's harder and harder to find folks in that sort of base group. And some kind of want to come on and troll, but those can be unproductive conversations.
Yeah.
But generally, I think they were kind of keeping their head down on day one.
You mentioned impeachment now because, as you said, not a lot of people ran on it. Now we're in a situation where, because the House is controlled by the Democratic Party, now it's a question. Do you think, as a political question, it is going to be sort of back and forth a lot within the party?
Yes. I mean, I think there's two interesting dynamics. One, I think that the Democratic leadership does not want to talk about it. And also, both for political reasons and genuine substantive reasons, do not want to prejudge the outcome.
Sure.
Right? So the idea is, if this is sort of an investigation or inquiry, we want to figure out what the facts are and then come to a reasoned determination. And if it looks like we're saying, like, done, impeached, then we've already judged it, right?
Yeah.
The problem is, the president has, on its face, done things that are merit impeachment inquiries. Like, a guy got up in federal court and said, the president directed me to commit a felony and violate campaign finance law to cover up something that helped him get elected. That's like one of 20 things I could list here, from the emoluments clause to the Saudis buying $600,000 of rooms in his hotel during transition to the firing of James Comey, like all that stuff, right? So you've got this problem where the case is very strong and the politics are very strong, and you've got the Democratic leadership like holding back the reins. And the whole thing feels like a Greek play in Act Two, where it's like Oedipus is gonna end up with his mom.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's like that, like,
yeah.
I got, you know, spoiler alert, but I think that's where we are in the drama.
Well, that's very exciting. That's why I bought the ticket. Give it up for Chris Hayes, everybody. All of us, Chris Hayes, Hayes Weeknight today, PM on MSNBC.
Podwalking. We're podwalking.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm with Chris Hayes. We're walking from... We're podwalking from the Late Night studio to the All In with Chris Hayes studio.
Yeah.
We are going to jump in the elevator here. Chris, you have a great podcast that sometimes runs ads on our podcast.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
A little cross-promotion.
Just some great NBC, MSNBC synergy.
It's called Synergy.
It's actually
a podcast about other podcasts within the network.
It's really exciting. It's a new platform. It's also web exclusive. You can find it only through the internal NBC website.
Yeah, exactly.
So just for us. Okay, so you have a podcast. Why is this happening? We are now on the fourth floor, which, did they redo this? This is
really
nice.
Yeah, they redid it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like, this feels like we're in like a Google office, like a Facebook office.
I know,
office.
It's got a like real.
Yeah.
Although it feels like they got into this particular design look like right at the tail end.
Oh, this like industrial design?
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like we're just like, we're right. It's like we're basically
done.
Year 12 of this or so.
Yeah.
It feels to me like. This augurs that like they're going to move
I think
on.
It's done, and I think the...
it's very nice, by the way. Just
no, we love it. To everyone who designed, bravo.
Yeah, all the designers listening, there's nothing on them more. I just come
industrial
here and look
chic
at it.
Is still going to be big. I will say, I think office open floor plans are done.
They're done.
Everyone hates it. It's a bad way to work.
Yeah.
Your podcast. You have a podcast.
It's called podcast Why Is This Happening? We do it once a week, and it's awesome. We get like guests and experts and thinkers and writers, and we just sort of talk about like deep... grappling with like sort of central issues in the news, like epistemology and how we get our knowledge, and the history of violence in Congress in the run-up to the Civil War, like
the things, census,
the census,
an
the
hour
census
on the
trial.
Census,
yeah, an hour on how, the census.
How freeing is it to have an hour
so
to talk about
freeing.
The census? You can't do that at 8 p.m.
Yes, you can't. And it's actually the reason that I really volunteered to do more work.
Yeah, because
it's like, I don't have enough work. Can I launch a podcast?
How do you do it all? You're a working dad. You've got three kids at home. You have a show.
I'm a dad on the run.
You're dad on the run, Chris.
I'm a dad on the run. I have an amazing wife, life partner, spouse.
And guest on the pod.
And a guest on the pod who is incredible and ends up having to like she has to, we have three kids now, so she has to watch all three kids every night, put them to bed, which is like not the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. So she is the sort of answer one. Answer two is caffeine.
Uh-huh.
Answer three is I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'm slowly.
Just wild to think about prepping a nightly show with all these different segments and all like the breaking news, and then
had a 2-week hiatus. So actually, I'm sorry,
that was us.
You did.
So sorry,
right,
that was
sorry,
us.
My bad.
Yeah, you had a 40-minute hiatus.
Right. Yeah, we worked. Yeah, right. Worked. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on now.
I got confused.
Yeah, no, that was us. That was us. You literally went upstairs in the green room. You're like, you all look so rested.
Yeah, I was like, man, it's a lot of energy in here. You guys seem real refreshed. Like, yeah, we just had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, we were not.
Pretty great.
We're not complaining. We took a shutdown.
Yes.
We took a brief shutdown.
That's right.
Everyone could do a brief.
Seth's insisting in a wall around the green room.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see through it. So, you know, he can have those producers. Yeah. This is great. I feel like I should let you go because you've got to go.
Yeah,
I
got to go
do
my. But thanks for having me on your podcast, and you should listen to my podcast.
Yeah, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, man.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.